ओम साई राम, श्री साई सच्चरित्र, चैप्टर 39, बाबाज नॉलेज ऑफ संस्कृत, हिज इंटरप्रिटेशन ऑफ अ वर्स फ्रॉम गीता, कंस्ट्रक्शन ऑफ द समाधि मंदिर. दिस चैप्टर 39 डील्स विद बाबाज इंटरप्रिटेशन ऑफ अ वर्स फ्रॉम द भगवद गीता. As some people believed that Baba had little knowledge of Sanskrit. But by the interpretation of Nana Sahib Sandulkar's query, Hemad Pant refuted that charge. In chapter number 50, and as it deals with the same subject matter, it is incorporated in this chapter. Preliminary. Blessed is Shirdi and blessed is Dwarka Mai, where Sri Sai lived and moved until he took Mahasamadhi. Blessed are the people of Shirdi, whom he obliged and for whom he lived there. Shirdi was a small village first, but it attained importance on account of his contact and became a Tirth, that is, holy place of pilgrimage. Equally blessed are the women folk of Shirdi. Blessed is their whole and undivided faith in Baba. They sang the glories of Sai Baba while bathing, grinding, pounding corn and doing other household work. Baba's interpretation. Nobody believed that Baba knew Sanskrit. One day he surprised all by giving an interpretation of a verse from the Gita to Nana Sahib Sandulkar. A brief account about this matter was written by Mr. B. V. Dev, retired Mamlatdar, and published in Marathi in Sri Sai Leela magazine, volume 4, Sputa Vishay, page 563. Short accounts of the same are also published in Sai Baba's Charters and Sayings, page 61, and in the Wondrous Saint Sai Baba, page 36, both by B. V. Narasimha Swami. Mr. B.V. Dev has also given an English version of this. In his statement dated 27-9-1936 and published on page 66 of Devotee's Experiences, Part 3, by Narasimha Swami. As Mr. Dev has got first-hand information about this subject from Nana Sahib himself, we give below his version. Nana Sahib Sandulkar was a good student of Vedanta. He had read Gita with commentaries. He fancied that Baba knew nothing of Sanskrit texts. So Baba one day pricked the bubble. These were the days before crowds flocked to Baba, when Baba had individual meetings at the mosque with such devotees. Nana was sitting near Baba and massaging Baba's legs and muttering something under his breath. Baba: Nana, what are you mumbling to yourself? Nana: I'm reciting a shlok. That is a verse. Baba: What shlok? Nana: From the Bhagavad Gita. Baba: Say it loudly. Nana then recited the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, 34, which is as follows: Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnani nasta tvadarshinah. Baba: Nana, do you understand it? Nana: Yes. Baba: If you do, then tell me its meaning. Nana: It means this: making sashtang namaskar, that is, prostration, asking the Guru, serving him, learn what this knowledge is. Then those who have attained the real knowledge of the sadvastu, that is, Brahma, will give you upadesh, instructions of knowledge. Baba: Nana, I do not want this sort of collected purport of the whole stanza. Give me each word, its grammatical force and meaning. Then Nana explained it word by word. Baba: Nana, is it enough to merely make prostration? Nana: I do not know any other meaning for the word pranipat than making prostration. Baba: What is pariprashna? Nana: Asking questions. Baba: What does prashna mean? Nana, the same questioning. Baba, if Pariprashna means the same as Prashna, that's question, why did Vyas add the prefix Pari? Was Vyas off his head? Nana, I do not know any other meaning for the word Pariprashna. Baba, Seva, what sort of Seva is meant? Nana, just what we are doing to you? Baba, is it enough to render such service? Nana, I do not know what more is significant by the word Seva. Baba, in the next line, Upadek Shanti Te Jnanam. Can you read any other word in lieu of Jnanam? Nana, yes. Baba, what word? Nana, Ajnanam. Baba, taking that word instead of Jnanam, is any meaning made out of the verse? Nana, no. Shankara Bhashya gives no such construction. Baba, never mind if he does not. Is there any objection in using the word Ajnan if it gives a better sense? Nana, I do not understand how to construct by placing Ajnan in it. Baba, why does Krishna refer Arjun to Tattvadarshis to do his prostration, interrogation and service? Was not Krishna a Tattvadarshi, in fact Jnan himself? Nana, yes, he was. But I do not make out why he referred Arjun to Jnanis. Baba, have you not understood this? Nana was humiliated. His pride was knocked down. Then Baba began to explain. First, it is not enough merely to prostrate before the Jnanis. We must make Sarvasva Sharanagati, that is, complete surrender to the Sadguru. Second, mere questioning is not enough. The question must not be made with any improper motive or attitude, or to trap the Guru and catch mistakes in the answer, or out of idle curiosity. It must be earnest with the view to achieve spiritual progress or liberation. Third, Seva is not rendering service with the feeling that one is free to offer or refuse service. One must feel that he is not the master of the body, that the body is Guru's and exists merely to render service to him. If this is done, the Sadguru will show you what the knowledge referred to in the previous stanza is. Nana did not understand what is meant by saying that a Guru teaches Ajnan. Baba, how is Jnan Upadesh, that is, imparting of realization, to be effected? Destroying ignorance is Jnan. Verse OV 1396 of Jnaneshwari, commenting on Gita 1866, says, removal of ignorance is, O Arjun, if dream and sleep disappear, you are yourself. It is like that. Also, OV 83 on Gita 516 says, is there anything different or independent in Jnan besides the destruction of ignorance? Expelling darkness means light. Destroying duality, that is Dvait, means non-duality, that is Advait. Whenever we speak of destroying Dvait, we speak of Advait. Whenever we speak of destroying darkness, we talk of light. If we have to realize the Advait state, the feeling of Dvait in ourselves has to be removed. That is the realization of the Advait state. Who can speak of Advait while remaining in Dvait state? Unless one gets into the state of non-duality, how can one know it and realize it? Again, the Shishya, disciple, like the Sadguru, is the embodiment of Jnan. The difference between the two lies in the attitude. High realization of Sadguru and his marvelous superhuman sattva, that is beingness, and unrivaled capacity and Aishwarya Yoga, divine powers. The Sadguru is Nirgun, Satchit Anand. He has indeed taken human form to elevate mankind and raise the world. But his real Nirgun nature is not destroyed thereby, even a bit. His existence or reality, divine power and wisdom remain undiminished. The disciple also is in fact the same Swarup, but it is overlaid by the effect of the sanskars of innumerable births in the shape of ignorance, which wields his view that he is Shuddha Chaitanya. See Bhagavad Gita chapter 5:15. As stated therein, he gets the impression that I am Jiva, a creature, meek and poor. The Guru has to root out these offshoots of ignorance and has to give upadesh or instruction to the disciple held spellbound for endless generations by the ideas of his being a Jiva. The Guru imparts the teaching, "You are God, you are mighty and opulent." Then he realizes that he is God really. The perpetual delusion under which the disciple is laboring, that he is the body and he is a creature, Jiva, or ego, that God, Paramatma, and the world are different from him, is an ignorance inherited from innumerable past births. From actions based on it, he has derived his joy, sorrows, and mixtures of both. To remove this delusion, this error, this root of ignorance, he must start the inquiry. How did the ignorance arise? Where is it? And to show him, this is called the Guru's Upadesh. The following are the instances of Agyan. First, I am Jeev, that is creature. Second, body is the soul, I am the body. Third, God, world and Jiva are different. Fourth, I am not God. Fifth, not knowing that body is not the soul. Sixth, not knowing that God, world and Jiva are one. Unless these errors are exposed to his view, the disciple cannot learn what is God, Jiva, world, body, how they are interrelated and whether they are different from each other or are one and the same. To teach him these and destroy his ignorance in these instructions in Jnan or Agyan, why should Jnan be imparted to the Jeev who is a Jnan Murti? Upadesh is merely to show him his error and destroy his ignorance. Baba added, Pranipat implies complete surrender. Surrender must be of body, mind and wealth. Why should Krishna refer to other jnanis? Sad Bhakta takes everything to be Vasudev. Bhagavad Gita 7:19. That is, any guru would be Krishna to the devotee and guru takes disciple to be Vasudev. Bhagavad Gita 7:18. As Shri Krishna knows that there are such gurus and disciples, he refers Arjun to them so that their greatness be known. Construction of the Samadhi Mandir. Baba never made any fuss about things which he wanted to accomplish, but he so skillfully arranged the circumstances that the people were surprised at the slow but sure results attained. The construction of the Samadhi Mandir is an instance. Shriman Babusaheb Bhuti, the famous multimillionaire of Nagpur, lived in Shirdi with his family. Once an idea arose in his mind that he should have a building of his own there. Sometime after that, while he was sleeping in Dikshitwada, he got a vision. Baba appeared in his dream and ordered him to build a vada with a temple. Shama, who was sleeping there, also got a similar vision. When Bapu Sahib awoke, he saw Shama crying and asked the latter as to why he was in tears. Shama replied that in his vision, Baba came to him and ordered distinctly, "Build the vada with the temple. I shall fulfill the desires of all." On hearing the sweet and the loving words of Baba, I was overpowered with emotion. My throat was choked, my eyes were overflowing with tears, and I began to cry. Bapu Sahib was surprised to see that both their visions tallied. Being a rich and a capable man, he decided to build a vada there and drew up a plan with Shama, that's Madhavrao. Kaka Sahib Dikshit also approved of it. And when it was placed before Baba, he also sanctioned it immediately. Then the construction work was duly started, and under the supervision of Shama, the ground floor, the cellar and the well were completed. Baba, on his way to and fro from Lendi, also suggested some improvements. Further work was entrusted to Bapu Sahib Zog, and when it was going on, an idea struck Bapu Sahib Bhuti's mind that there should be an open space or platform and in the center the image of Muralidhar, that is Lord Krishna with the flute, be installed. He asked Shama to refer this matter to Baba and get his consent. The latter asked Baba about this when he was just passing by the Vada. On hearing Shama, Baba gave his consent, saying, "After the temple is complete, I will come there to stay." And staring at the Vada, Baba added, "After the Vada is complete, we shall use it ourselves. We shall live, move, play there, embrace each other and be happy." Then Shama asked Baba whether this was the auspicious time to begin the foundation work of the central room of the shrine. Baba answered in the affirmative. Then Shama got a coconut broken there and started the work. In due time, the work was completed and an order was also placed for making a good image of Muralidhar. But before it was ready, a new situation turned up. Baba became seriously ill. Bapu Sahib became very sad and dejected, thinking that if Baba passed away, his Vada would not be consecrated by the holy touch of Baba's feet, and all his money, about 1 lakh rupees, would be wasted away. But the words, "Keep me in the Vada," which came out of Baba's mouth just before his passing away, consoled not only Bapu Sahib, but one and all. In due time, Baba's holy body was placed and preserved in the central shrine meant for Muralidhar, and Baba himself became Muralidhar, and the Vada thus became the Samadhi Mandir of Sai Baba. His wonderful Leela is unfathomable. Blessed and fortunate is Bapu Sahib Bhuti, in whose Vada lies the holy and the pure body of Baba. Bow to Shri Sai. Peace to all. Om Sai Ram.